from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, and welcome back. 4 o'clock hour. Hi, how are you? Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby. Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Tony, as mentioned earlier, he's got to get down to the big soiree going on tonight at Petco Park that none of us, that includes all of you listeners, are invited to. Only the biggest and brightest get to go to this thing. And they raise a whole bunch of money, and Ludacris is playing while they eat five-star food on the diamond at Petco Park and dress up and have themselves quite an evening.
A soiree.
I said soiree.
Oh, you did?
I did. I already used that word.
Maybe that's why you used it?
Yeah. Because you thought you'd heard it somewhere?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so Tony's headed down there, but we did do the Big Five, and so you'll hear him on that. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, right now it is, there go the phone lines. They're ready to roll. Chris versus the Fans is coming up. Before we get to it, quick update. Wimbledon today. Scrabe, you know, I watch this stuff. I mean, it starts at 5 in the morning. I do, you know, set the DVR.
Are you kidding me?
I like it. I love Wimbledon, and I watched the semifinals today. Two really exciting matches. The first one was most exciting. This young lady, Jasmine Paolini, from Italy.
You've been talking about her.
I have. She made the finals at the French Open. Well, now she's made the finals at Wimbledon. That is not something that happens very often because they're two totally different surfaces, right? One's clay court, one's grass court. And very few players are good on both courts. The last player to make the final in both of those two tournaments in the same year was Serena, and you have to go back 20 years for it. Actually, go back, let's see, 2006. So it's been a long time. Paolini trailed in her match against unseeded Dana Vekic of the Czech Republic, but Paolini came back, and the final set went to a tiebreak, and you have to win by two. She won 10 points to 8. So it took 3 hours. Very exciting semifinal. Paolini into the final will take on Barbara Krejcikova for the title. Krejcikova, former French Open winner herself, knocked out the 2022 Wimbledon champ Elena Rybakina in three sets. I'm just doing all of this to try and show off my ability to pronounce tennis names.
I was just thinking, like, what we're going deep into this.
Yes, we are. Krejcikova, Rybakina. Yeah, it was quite the lineup. So tomorrow's the men's semifinals, and we'll see the Joker in action and others.
I have a quick thing for Manny. Jocelyn, one of our great listeners, just put this in the chat. At the Manny camp today, Manny Machado gave each kid, 480 kids, a big box of 2024 Topps cards. Totally unexpected.
Whoa.
And all of these kids are really happy.
Oh, wait. Say this again.
Manny Machado has a Manny camp today.
What, does he have just a one-day camp?
I don't know. Jocelyn, let us know.
Yeah.
But Manny
Tell
gave
us what
each
the
kid
about.
480 80. Wow. A big box of 2024 Topps cards.
All right, first of all, a box of Topps cards in this day and age is going for a few hundo.
I mean, it depends
just on,
yeah.
its own.
Yeah.
And how many was it? 480
480.
Kids? So, you know, that was a pricey gift. But beyond being a pricey gift, oh, if I was a kid and you just gave me a box of unopened baseball cards.
From Manny Machado?
Sweet. What a great gift.
I can't stand these people that say Manny's a selfish person because he's not selfish.
Nah, Manny
does so much stuff that he doesn't ever publicize.
He does some selfish things, but that doesn't mean you're a selfish person.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
Okay.
Honestly, I don't know why I said that. Because he is Manny Machado.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
It is one day, Jocelyn says. And apparently,
a one-day camp, and these kids, 500 kids show up, and he guides them all a box of baseball cards.
Woods'
awesome.
Kid was at the camp. That's why he was not at the round table. So there you go.
Awesome. Well,
that
then,
cool.
Since Woods was not at the round table, Woods' kid has to bring the box of cards to us.
So you can go through them?
I'll tell you one thing. I'm 100 years old, but if you gave me a box of unopened Topps trading cards right now, I'd probably go home and open them all.
And just
enjoy it.
I can't even imagine the sorting, like for you as a guy who is very neat and tidy,
yes.
the sorting that you must do.
Here's my sorting process for baseball cards.
Oh no.
It's by team.
Okay, that's
and
not
I,
so bad.
But I don't put a pile of 30 different piles all over the place. This you'll laugh.
This is where we're going.
I put the teams in their divisions on the floor. And so the Dodger pile is next to the Padre pile, next to the Giant pile.
Did you put them in order of ranking or of standing?
No.
Okay.
But I will put all the NL West teams in one row, NL Central in another row.
That's funny.
That's what I do when
that's
I sort
really
cards.
Funny.
But it's been a long time since I've been through a box of baseball cards. I would love to do that. As a matter of fact, I might just have to go out and buy a box. Just to have the fun of doing it.
Remember during COVID, I brought in all those cards that I found? We would play games. Like, I would read off stuff on the baseball card, and you would try to guess them. It wasn't that fun of a game.
We were desperate to do anything
yeah,
during
exactly.
that time.
But, it was fun going through the cards. I never was a card guy as a kid.
I was more of a football card guy. I think a pack of baseball cards, opening that up, was about one of the funnest things you could do. For the longest time in my life.
And I'm not saying that you're old, but when you were doing it as a kid,
it was a quarter. And it was only a quarter, a dime even, so it was affordable.
Yeah.
If I went out and bought a box of Topps new trading cards right now, somebody chat, how much would that be? I didn't even know.
Let's see.
It'd be a lot more than I'd be really wanting to spend.
Just to
get a Gavin Lux card or something.
You don't want to.
You know what I mean?
It says I just typed in Topps
2024 box of trading
cards.
One
retail value box, $24.99.
No.
That's what it says?
I don't think so.
On Amazon.
All right, how many packs are in there?
Seven packs.
Oh, no, I need like... I'm thinking...
Seven packs, 12 cards per pack. That's a lot of cards.
That's not enough.
That's 84 cards.
Okay, straight with you, when I did Topps boxes of cards, you got 24 packs with 10 or 15 cards in each pack.
Okay, so this one is a 2024 Topps Series 1 baseball retail display, 20 packs per box, $67.
I'll think about it.
I mean, Chris, I can tell you right now, I'm looking at this box.
I think that'd be a funny present to get me for,
Done.
Next time.
Done.
There's a present given.
Done.
A box of baseball
East
cards.
County Chris says, when I got the Upper Deck Griffey rookie, I unpacked at the card shop when I was a kid. It was the highlight of my life.
Wow. That's...
I mean, that's not...
And I'm not
I
even going to make...
Too.
Yeah, I'm not going to make fun of that. I can see that. Because, it's just... there's something about wanting a certain card and it pops into view. There's something about that moment. You can get qualified right now for a trip to the Rio Las Vegas, including a two-night stay, dinner for two, and the day bed at the Rio Pool. The Rio Las Vegas is back, baby. New ownership, newly remodeled rooms, four sparkling new pools, and a brand new food hall all ready for you. Now and your next Vegas escape, beyond the expected, beyond the strip, beyond the wildest dreams, Rio Las Vegas, the rhythm of Vegas. You can book now at riolasvegas.com. Let's play.
you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself?
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, before we get into this, Chris, I received a DM from our guy Gonzo today.
Yes.
And our guy Gonzo won the Vegas prize for June.
All right.
So congratulations, Gonzo.
Very good.
That's awesome. You are on your way to Vegas. He actually sent me the DM saying, is this real? Because it does like seem like kind of crazy that you just get a free trip. But yes, it is real. So good for you, Gonzo. And I think Gonzo only played once. And he was able to win.
I would like to say one last thing on the baseball cards.
Yes.
Here's the 1975 Topps complete set in mint condition, which at one point in my life, I would have definitely owned 10 times over.
Okay.
Right? When I was a kid, I must have had every one of these cards 10 times over. The complete set, mint condition, on sale right now, eBay. $11,000.
Oh, my gosh.
What was I thinking?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I had it five times over, Scraby. I could be selling this and paying your salary.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Paying my salary?
Yeah.
Well, no, you're going to have money left over if you're paying my salary then. $11,000 is too much.
Yeah, I messed that up.
Yeah. I'm not saying that cards are bad. I just do not get
You don't
why
get it.
I
yeah,
don't get it.
Right. There's
I
certain things
it.
That, yeah, you just don't get that. A lot of people don't get that you wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
So. All right, here we go.
All right, yes.
Give the rules.
I forgot we were playing a game here. You have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into the first question, and you will get that question for free. So let's start with someone's name I don't know that we have ever seen before, but we'll see
let's
here in
see.
A second. Scott, are you there?
Hey, Scott.
I am here.
All right, Scott.
Are you joining us for the first time?
So, I'll tell you one thing. I have somebody sitting next to me, my son, Curran.
Oh,
yes.
You
remember him about a year ago.
I do.
He was the youngest winner ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do remember that. So, it's we got Scott and Curran, right?
Yeah, so we'll be a second time player.
Okay, perfect.
All right, here we go, guys. Question
well,
number.
Well, thanks for calling in, guys.
One.
Good luck.
Which Nola brother pitches for the Phillies?
No, not Austin. Aaron Nola.
That was
what did Curran say?
He said Austin.
Oh, he did. That a boy, Curran.
Scott was like, no!
No!
All right. Let's go to the next question. Question number two.
Curran said Aaron Nola is pitching today.
He is. He's pitching
he
right
is,
now.
And top of the fourth, Phillies 2, Dodgers nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Question number two. Which manager was ejected 161 times in his career, which is a major league record?
Curran's not going to know. So I will go with Lou Piniella.
Lou Piniella. Pretty good guess.
Yeah, he got fiery.
He got some memorable ejections for sure.
Stay there. I don't know that Chris knows this.
No, I do know this
you
one.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I believe it's Bobby Cox as the record holder in that category. Yeah. Sorry about
Sorry,
that, guys.
Scott,
thanks
Thank
for calling
you for
in. Curran, you're now the youngest ever to lose in Chris versus the Fans.
Poor Curran.
Along with being the youngest ever to win.
Hey,
so
if there's
a little
any,
of both.
If there's any mom, son, mom, daughter, dad, son, dad, daughter groups I want to play, please give us a call because that's always very fun.
That was fun.
All right, let's go to our next contestant. We will go to Ron. Hello, Ron.
How you doing?
Hey, Ron.
Pretty good. Are you ready to play, Ron?
I am ready to play.
Let's
okay,
go.
I thought he was going somewhere else.
I think Ron has been on before, and I think you always stick an NBA question on him. And he
is that true, Ron?
Is that you, Ron?
Yeah, there's a couple of Ron's. I'm a winner a couple of times.
Oh. You have won a couple. Okay,
all right.
Good. All right.
Here we go.
Here we go.
What team does closer Mason Miller play for?
Mm. Fair question.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate.
I would guess incorrect. Whoa, you buzzed him.
He said he didn't know.
You could have guessed a team. Do you want to guess one team for the hell of it?
Colorado.
Colorado. Yeah, that is a nondescript team to be sure, but it is.
I knew Chris knows this
the
one.
The A's. But maybe not for long. They may trade him. As a matter of fact, Jackson Merrill hit a game-winning home run off of him.
He did.
When they were here in San Diego.
He sure did.
But he is he's on the All-Star team, is he not? I think he is for
Mason
sure.
Mason Miller? I honestly don't know.
Pretty sure he is. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our next contestant. We're going to go to Lucas. Hello, Lucas.
Hey, Lucas.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
Pretty good.
We're very good. Good to have you with us.
Here we go. Question number one.
Good luck to you.
What NFL team is going to be featured on Hard Knocks this season?
I believe it was the Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
He's going with the Chiefs on this one.
Unfortunately, that is incorrect, and I know Chris knows.
No, I don't.
What?
I thought it was the... I was going to say... this is not my answer. I would have said the Giants, but now the Giants are on this off-season Hard Knocks, and I'm trying to think whether they're going to stay with the Giants or if they chose another team.
Oh, I just took it off of you. But yes, there is another team.
There is another team?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not the Giants.
No.
Because the Giants are in the current edition.
Yes.
The in-season team this year is... I don't know. I was going to say no. I don't want to guess when I know for a fact I'm wrong, but I guess I'm going to have to say the Texans. I don't know.
Texans.
Yeah, I don't know. Good for you, Lucas. You move on. Who is it?
The Chicago Bears.
The Bears. I did hear that. Darn it.
Yeah, I remember Caleb Williams, all that stuff.
Yeah, Bears. Right now it's the Giants, though. In the off-season edition.
Yeah, I need to watch a little bit of that.
You'll like it.
All right, here we go. Question number two. I'm going to give you these players' names. You tell me what team they played for. Carlos Beltran, Lance Lynn, Lance Berkman. Carlos Beltran, Lance Lynn, Lance Berkman. What team do they play on together?
Tough.
The Yankees. Stay there.
Cardinals, I think.
Cardinals is correct. Sorry about that, Lucas.
I wasn't positive about Beltran, but I knew Berkman snuck over to the Cardinals.
Yeah,
I never
knew that Carlos Beltran played for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Lance Lynn, I know, is a Cardinal.
All right.
By the way, there was a funny, the tweet guy that reads lips? What's his?
Oh, John Boy.
John Boy. He did a tweet on Lance Lynn pitching and... somebody for the Marlins beat out a bunt against him.
Really?
And then he struck out the side, and as he's walking off the mound, Lance Lynn is going, rah, 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 rah. And John Boy, tells you what he's saying.
Lip sync, or lip reads.
Lip reads, and it's all bad language, but it's hilarious. Lance Lynn, let's just say, did not like the fact that Jazz Chisholm bunted against him.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, and he was like...
Furious?
Furious and swearing up a storm as he came off the mound.
I do not get these guys who you can't butt against them. Like, get over yourself.
Yeah, I agree with you.
All right. One last one because we got a lot to fit in this hour. So here is our next contestant. Let's go to Matt.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not too much. Here we go. Question number one. What NBA team had the first overall pick in this year's draft?
This year.
This year.
This year.
Ooh, boy.
Was it the Pistons? I'm going to go with Washington.
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 Yeah.
Sorry, Matt. Chris, do you know?
Hawks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because Adam Klug was not pleased.
Sorry, Matt.
Then again, when is Adam Klug pleased?
He loves his Atlanta sports.
He doesn't love his Hawks.
He doesn't. No, you're right about that. All right. I'm going to go Jaylen Brown because I just looked up at ESPN. His name
as your
random player.
Random player. Okay.
We're going to do a tiebreaker. So I got him up. Let's go to give me a number, Chris. Yeah, roll the die.
Number one.
Number one Terry is Terry.
Terry, you're up.
Do you know how to play the tiebreaker?
Terry?
Hello?
All right, Terry's not there.
Well, let me roll again. Quickly.
Two.
We're going in order, apparently.
Miguel. Hello, Miguel. Are you there?
Hi, Miguel.
How's it going?
Very good.
Have you ever heard the tiebreaker before?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
He's good.
I'm not going to try to explain it. So here we go. Chris, Jaylen Brown has been in the NBA for, why won't it tell me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 seasons.
9 seasons for Jaylen.
9 seasons.
Okay.
How many threes has he made in his career?
What's a lot of three? Okay, 80 games, 2.5 per game. That's 200 a year. 9 seasons, 1,500.
Wait, 1, 2, 3.
I'm saying 1,500 regardless.
1,500, okay. Miguel, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Lower.
Do I know numbers today, Chris? I do. You are correct, Miguel. Nice job. I love when people are excited.
Very good, Miguel.
He's made 1,028 threes.
Oh,
so
wow.
Not
he's quite,
too bad.
Quite a far short of 1,500, as it turns out.
So
very
there
good.
You go.
All right. We'll take a break. We got to
stay right there. I'll
traffic.
Get you,
yeah, hang on there, Miguel. You're the winner today. Hopefully, you'll eventually be going to Las Vegas. Right now, we are going to a quick timeout.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, 4:27 is the time, Priscilla. Tony Wood Jr., Matt Scraby. Tony's down at the Petco Park. Big Padres soiree tonight. Padres are back in action tomorrow night against the Hotlanta Braves. Braves are actually playing a little bit better. They're the top wild card right now in the National League. The Cardinals are the number 2 wild card. The Padres, no longer the number 3 wild card. Yeah, they fell a percentage point behind the Metropolitans. Where is our guy Frank Marchese now? I mean, he gave up the season a month and a half ago on the Mets. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Totally gave up, and he's like the biggest Met fan. And he's like, oh, we can't win. We never do it. Right now, the Mets are ahead of the Padres by a percentage point. They beat the Nats today. 7-0. Update, Phillies 2, Dodgers 1. All solo home runs in this game. Trey Turner, Brandon Marsh for the Phillies. Gavin Lux just left the yard for the Dodgers. We got our big five. And then after that, don't forget the Padre Roundtable with all of us. That'll be between 5 and 6. It's a commercial-free hour of nothing but Padre talk. And then from 6 to 7, it's Matt Scraby and the Scraby Chronicles.
Yes, sir. Right. I got an amazing Daily Gripe today.
Can I get a hint?
I'll tell you in the break, but it
was...
Oh,
you're not going to... Okay.
It's something that was very sad. And it's not actually sad, but it was sad. I'll tell you in the break.
All right. Yeah. I can't go anywhere unless I hear.
Okay.
I can't return for the Big Five unless I know what this gripe's going to be.
I know.
But you have to return for the Big Five. It's coming up next on Gwen and Chris. Yeah, I was feeling pretty good until I heard that Jim Rome thing there. Now my oblique is killing me.
I wasn't listening. What did it say?
Well, he's talking about a story that came out today. Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Oh, yeah.
The great Lions receiver.
Okay.
Played the second half of last season with his oblique torn muscle torn completely off the bone.
Oh.
Played the whole season, or, you know, three quarters of the season with that.
Oh, my gosh.
They said he, you know, he's got an oblique injury. And he goes out there every Sunday and plays. You know, I'm not, you more than us, you make fun of athletes who are, you know, in your mind a little wimpy. Like, Tyler Glass now is going to sit out the next 6.5 years because he's got a back tightness. But Amon-Ra St. Brown playing a whole season or most of it with a torn off the bone oblique muscle. That's pretty good.
Makes the baseball players look real wimpy.
Soft. Yeah. Soft, I say.
I mean, you sneeze and you feel your oblique and they're out for 8 weeks.
Speaking soft, Zach Wheeler, the latest to miss a scheduled start.
An obliquer?
For the Phillies. No, his back hurts. He probably saw Tyler Glass now getting some time off with that excuse.
Like, you know, I decided
on the same thing.
I woke up, my back is just a little tight.
I'm out for a month.
Just a little tight.
Take me out, coach.
Take me out.
Yeah, isn't that how the old song went?
Take me out, coach. Yeah. I'm ready to sit on the bench.
Famous song. All right, here we go. Traffic, and then today's Big Old Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I gotta tell you, Chris, we said it a couple times today, but it is very nice when Tony is back in studio with us.
It's the best.
I enjoy being back here.
Yeah, I miss the air guitar. I miss all of that.
That is the fun part. You know, I'm not trying to jump ahead here, but that is the fun part to there be no baseball, is that we are in studio a little bit more. I'm not saying I want the season in, because I'm enjoying this season.
We hope we don't see you again until November. We don't want to see you
in 4 games?
I'm enjoying the season, okay, Scraby. Okay.
Listen to what he said. We're not going to see it till November. I'm expecting another long run. But we did try to make up for it yesterday by bringing our dogs in, and it just didn't.
It was great. My dog slept the entire time.
Your dog was fine.
Chris's dog was barking the entire
time. Yes. My dog is no longer going to be allowed.
She got on the show a little bit.
Oh, huh? Lucky might be coming in on a daily basis now because he just sits in the corner.
No, Lucky is fine.
I would not have. Everything I know about Lucky would not have pointed me in the direction of he just slept here.
Really? Oh, yeah, I do tell you a lot.
He tells about the whole mud. I mean, I know there's no mud in here, so
he's an older gentleman now, and so he's a little bit more calm, yes.
The comparison and calm between your dog and my dog is no comparison.
That was very fun, though, getting him
in there. Yeah, it was fun having him in.
All right. I was listening to Jesse and Scan last night in the drive home when they were calling the game between the Padres and the Mariners. And they were talking about White Sox closer, that was a hard thing to say, Michael Kopech, and his feat of closing out a game with an immaculate inning, which is, if you don't know, you get 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 outs. That's why it's immaculate. That was the 113th immaculate inning of all time. And Jesse brought up that there have been 323 no-hitters in baseball history. So those numbers show the immaculate inning is much more difficult to accomplish than the no-hitter. Tony, why do you think this is more rare than a no-hitter?
I mean, there's a specific circumstance that has to take place. I mean, think about that. 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 9 punch-outs.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think of it in that terms, right, I mean, a foul ball could just change that. You could go 0-2, guy can foul a pitch off. That's the end of it.
A bad umpire.
It takes some luck, you know. I think
never happened under Angel Hernandez's watch.
Right. The umpire
still can't get
right. The umpire behind you may call the first pitch of the game right down the middle. Ball. you never even know if you get a chance to get an immaculate. And I just think there's so many things that have to go your way from that standpoint. Whereas, you know, over the course of a 9-inning game, you can maneuver your way to no hits if you're really good. And even those take a little bit of luck. There's usually a few plays that are made in those occasions. So, yeah, I think it's just tough. And the way, you know, pitching is done now, I would say it's probably even tougher, right? Because guys don't have the pinpoint control. So now you're dependent on the hitter chasing a little bit.
Yeah, Chris?
I don't really understand why there hasn't been more immaculate innings.
I don't know if you heard that or not, but
I did.
Okay.
Were you talking to me?
No, I don't know why I said your name Angel. And then played the Angel Hernandez thing. So
oh, I
I'm
did.
A little
okay.
disjointed.
That threw me off. Yeah, I don't really quite know. I would expect that there'd have been more immaculate innings, but there isn't. You know, to me, the best. I mean, this is impressive that Kopech did this, etc. Especially impressive for him because he normally doesn't get too many guys out. I know that, you know, as a White Sox, don't have a lot of chances to close games. But to me, the most impressive strikeout thing that I've seen this year is still easily Jeremy Estrada. I mean, getting 13 consecutive batters to strike out. That, I mean, you talk about just somebody, you know, squibbing one in front of the plate over the course of four games. So it's impressive.
I mean, he had consecutive strikeouts, but if I'm not mistaken, those weren't 1, 2, 3 innings in each of those.
For Jeremiah. I think the three of them were 1, 2, 3 innings, and the other ones were parts of innings, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But no, he never had an immaculate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. And that's, you know, I think that speaks to why it's so difficult. I mean, he comes in for 2/3 of an inning, he strikes those two guys out. And he continues to do it, but, you know, it's not an immaculate inning. It just got to line up.
This is a very interesting conversation they had yesterday. I appreciated it. Chris, Mountain West Media
How about
Week.
Jesse having the stat handy of how many no-hitters there have been?
Are you kidding?
Let's not overlook the fact that he always has that stuff.
I'm sitting in the car, and he's like, there's almost been double the immaculate innings, and I was like, I wonder if he knows the number. And then he said, there's been this many immaculate innings and this many no-hitters.
I guarantee you that immaculate inning happened, he saw it, and then that was the next thought.
Right.
I wonder how many, you know what, this would be perfect for a certain point in the game, and then he goes to do the research, and he's got it all handy.
You know, I've snuck into the booth a few times, and I will share this. I hope I'm not talking out of school. I don't think I am. Jesse, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, has 3 or maybe even 4 computer monitors open at one time during the game. So it's unbelievable to me how much, and then he has his written notes in front of him and his scorecard. So he's only got two arms, but he's able to operate this stuff all at the same time.
He has his computer, he's got his little iPad.
Laptop.
But in that computer, in that laptop that he has on his left, he's got about 3 different windows open.
Yeah.
And in each one of the windows, I mean, one of the windows is like just statistics and little tidbits on every guy that's on the other roster.
He's
prepared.
It's not surprising that he sounds as good as he does.
I used to make boards for a former host in town that was affiliated with the Chargers. His like color analyst boards,
right.
And it would take me 6 days to put this board together because of how much information is on there. And you may never even use
it. You may not. That's the thing.
So, all right, back to number 4, Chris. Mountain West Media Day happened, or is happening this week, and the Aztecs didn't really get much love. They are predicted to finish 8th, and for the first time in a long time, no Aztecs are on the all-conference team, the preseason all-conference team. Do you think this is accurate, Chris?
Well, probably. Well, I hope it's not accurate. I hope the 8th place part is not accurate, and I'm pretty sure that by season's end, the Aztecs always have enough talent. They'll find somebody on their way to the all-conference team. But I do think it serves as a little bit of a reminder of, you know, the season's less than 2 months away, of how much Sean Lewis work he still has, you know, he has to do. You know, this team has fallen from grace. I mean, they were, you know, consistently, you know, contending for a Mountain West championship with all kinds of all-conference players for, you know, a decade or more, you know, with Brady and then with Rocky Long and then even when Brady came back. But all of a sudden, you know, last year, it fell, and it fell hard. I think they went 2-6 in the conference. So just a reminder, you know, if Sean Lewis gets them into contention this year, he's doing a hell of a job.
Tony, do you think this is accurate from the preseason Mountain West?
Yeah, as Chris said, I hope not. I hope when it's all said and done, you know, when the season ends, we got a few guys on that first team. That being said, this team is coming off one of their lowest years in quite some time. And so, you know, and with so many, you know, transfers coming in, I think it's fair not for them necessarily to have guys that are up on, you know, first team, second team, preseason picks. But I'm excited for this season. I don't, and for the first time in a long time, I don't know what to expect at all. And in some ways, that's kind of interesting, right? It's like a clean canvas for Coach Lewis to now, you know, go out and build, draw whatever he wants to. And so I'm excited. We'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I am enjoying the state of, I don't know.
That's where we all are.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting because that makes me extremely uncomfortable.
Well, based on where we were.
Yes, but you're a glaff, yeah. Half-empty guy.
A glaff? What's a glaff?
You know what he meant.
It's a cousin of a glass.
All right, well, we'll see. After meeting those guys earlier in the week.
Did I really say glaff?
Yes, you did.
Oh, you stopped yourself. But my goodness. You did say glaff.
Yeah, but after meeting those kids, I'm pretty excited about this
season. We had those kids in on Monday, and they were great. Fun talking about the Aztecs, and yeah. I know they're excited, so why shouldn't we be?
Right.
Number three.
Speaking of media days, during Big 12 media days, Mike Gundy, the head coach of Oklahoma State, addressed why he opted not to punish star running back Ollie Gordon II, who had been arrested for driving under the influence. Gundy explained he figured that Gordon had drank 2 to 4 beers, but here's the full thing, and people are kind of questioning this.
Let me hear it first.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like in Oklahoma is 0.08, and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really 2 or 3 beers or 4. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light.
So that's what he said, and people are like, what? You just condoned drinking and driving. He did make a statement later on X saying, my intended point today at Big 12 Media Day was that we are all guilty of making bad decisions. It was not a reference to something specific. So, as you can tell, this is a lot. But, Tony, did he make a mistake by saying this?
His point that he was... Basically, he was saying he deserved another chance, right? But he was very poor in how he delivered that message.
I've drank 4 beers driving right, home like, before.
That is,
and I just got lucky. I was driving drunk, and I just got lucky.
I'll take you for your word that that's not what your intention was.
Yeah.
But that's certainly how it sounded when you were, you know, you looked up, okay, it's 0.08. He was 1. So how many more beers is that than the legal limit?
He only drank a couple of beers too many.
Right. And so, you know, in a day, at least in Gundy's time of, well, he probably still having 4 beers.
And driving.
To this day. But just to take it back when he was a young man, they didn't have services like Uber very easily to have you, to take you someplace, right?
Yeah.
So I think ultimately his delivery was extremely poor. And considering that he is a leader of young men, I would expect a little bit more. But this is also the same individual that gave us the spectacular rant of, I'm 40.
I'm a man.
I'm 40. So, I mean,
Chris, do you know what we're talking about? He gave me this look like he had no idea what the I'm a man,
he
I'm
definitely
40.
Knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to figure out how old he is now and why he doesn't know better than to say absolutely stupid remarks that he said. I mean, this has got to go down as one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a leader of young men ever say. You're so... a largely college audience, you know, and you're telling them it's quite all right. We all do it. Go out and have three or four beers and drive.
You might get lucky like I did.
I cannot believe this guy honestly said this. Furthermore, he brought this young man to the media day.
That was kind of his punishment. He's not allowed to hide from everyone.
I see. Sure. That's his punishment. Yeah, why don't you come with me and enjoy the media day?
Did he let him get up on the thing and get some questions?
You know, I honestly don't know. But yeah,
this is, I got to be honest with you. There's got to be an AD somewhere who would think this is almost a fireable offense to say something this stupid. I'm being honest with you. I don't know where that AD is, but Mike Gundy's lucky that it's not his AD.
You have to wonder, right? I mean, I don't think Mike Gundy has been in any...
Oh, I said Van Gundy, too.
That's where it got me. I didn't pick up on yours.
The glass is half full.
Mike Gundy, I don't know that he's done anything that has warranted him getting in trouble or anything, but clearly he's been there for...
A long time.
You know, whatever AD is there is not disappointed in the work that he is putting out, so...
Yeah. He should be disappointed in that, though.
Ollie Gordon did speak to the media. I'm seeing some clips on there.
From the specific point of he brought him there for punishment, I don't mind him bringing him and then putting him up there so he had to answer some questions and, you know, hopefully did a better job than his head coach did in terms of answering those questions.
I
bet you he did, too.
I left this fact out until the end, but many are pointing to the fact that when you're 20 years old, your limit is .00000. It's not technically .00, but
I didn't realize he wasn't 21.
Yeah,
thanks for leaving that out so that we couldn't comment on it.
Yes.
Number three.
Already hit that one.
Number two.
All right, so here's a social media interaction between a Major League Baseball player and a fan, and then I'll ask you something after. But it comes from Corin Tom on X, at Tom Foolery, if you would like to go see this. But he tweeted, do you think even Whit Merrifield's family buys his jersey? He just can't seem to get it going in Philly, and he tagged Whit Merrifield in the tweet.
Oh, he was trying to be a you-know-what. Yes.
So Whit Merrifield replied. He said, obviously not. In fact, they all changed their last name by May 1st, hoping to get them to change it back by October. They did buy all three of my All-Star jerseys, though, which is a good comeback.
Very good.
And then Corin Tom comes back and said, what I said was mean, but I'm really just hoping for more production at the plate. Defense is solid. Go Phillies, which is a back track.
That's one of my favorites right there.
Oh, he replied to me? Now I'm going to be nice.
This is where the human side kicks in, and you're like, oh, I didn't know that he was actually going to see this.
Really? He reads this stuff?
Now I feel like a you-know-what.
Yeah, and Whit Merrifield did reply again, but it was more of like, hey, I don't want to make outs. I'm trying out here. We're all trying, blah, blah, blah.
You know, Whit, you are a great individual for even giving this guy or gal the time of day.
Tomfoolery.
Well, I think he did it because he wanted to get the All-Star jersey line in, which was really good.
So the question is, because I came across this from someone posted this whole conversation and said, it's incredibly ignorant that a fan tags an athlete in a nasty tweet. Being critical is one thing, but tagging them in it is evil. So, Chris, is tagging an athlete in a mean tweet evil?
Evil? No, I don't think so in this day and age, but I understand.
That's a low bar.
Right. I think that, you know, athletes have a right to be tagged and to find out what people are saying about them if they so choose to. I do think the majority of these guys, do they look at all this? Do they all look at it?
I think they all look at
you
it.
You know, I mean, we see it when we get tagged, you know, on the radio station for saying something that somebody doesn't like and. You feel some type of way. It's best not to. Yeah, mostly me. I get it.
I pointed.
But it's,
I got one a couple weeks ago.
You know, it's...
Really?
you know, once in a while, I never try to engage because it just seems to make things worse. I think in this case, exactly. Whit Merrifield had a pretty good comeback, and, you know, I think it was fair. But, I mean, it's also Philadelphia fans, right? I mean, they're pretty intense. So.
They are. What do you think, Tony?
I think it's evil.
I agree.
You're going, evil, huh? Here's a chance where, you know, Twitter is set up to where you can talk behind somebody's back.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's perfectly fine. They probably will never see.
They have to search their own name.
But for you to then turn around and tag them in it means you want them to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are going to be that person that tags somebody, stand on it. Stand on it. Don't do the backtracking. Don't do it. Yeah, don't do the moonwalk. Stand on it. If you send a tweet out that says, I wonder if Whit Merrifield's family buys his jersey.
Really aggressive.
And he replies back, don't turn into, oh, that was really mean of me. Stand on it. Stand on what you said. I had it happen to me a couple weeks ago, and I'm positive the person didn't think I was going to reply or see it. Happened to be doing the TV game the series before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was against Milwaukee. And somebody had said they enjoyed me being on there, and he left the, the gif of a kind of like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just said, hey. And I did my Whit Merrifield. I said, you know, you can always tune in to 97.3 The Fan. We got two terrific broadcasters over there. And Jesse Agler and Bob Scanlon.
Nice there job.
Very good.
That is a way to handle it.
And he also
that's one way to handle
walked
it.
Back.
The other way to handle it is what the old Giant shortstop Johnny LeMaster did back in the day before.
Oh, yeah, Johnny LeMaster.
Do you remember Johnny LeMaster?
No, I don't.
Really?
No, I just love how we always have to go back to some obscure player from the 70s.
Well, I have to go back to it because that's the guy who was part of the story.
Johnny LeMaster. You know Johnny LeMaster? No, I don't know Johnny LeMaster.
Johnny LeMaster, the Giant fans used to call him Johnny the Disaster. He only hit about 190. He was really a Punch and Judy player.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I gotta tell you, Chris, we said it a couple times today, but it is very nice when Tony is back in studio with us.
It's the best.
Being back here.
Yeah, I miss the air guitar. I miss all of that.
That is the fun part. You know, I'm not trying to jump ahead here, but that is the fun part to there being no baseball is that we are in studio a little bit more. I'm not saying I want the season in because
I'm
enjoying
you.
This season.
We hope we don't see you again until November. We don't want to see you
four games.
I'm enjoying the season, okay, Scraby. Okay.
Listen to what he said. We're not going to see it till November. I'm expecting another long run. But we did try to make up for it yesterday by bringing our dogs in, and it just didn't.
It was great. My dog slept the entire time.
Your dog was fine.
Chris's
dog
was barking the entire time.
Yes. My dog is no longer going to be allowed.
She got on the show a little bit.
Oh,
huh?
Lucky might be coming in on a daily basis now because he just sits in the corner.
No, Lucky is fine.
I would not have. Everything I know about Lucky would not have pointed me in the direction of he just slept here.
Really? Oh, yeah, I do tell you a lot.
You tell us about the whole mud. I mean, I know there's no mud in here, so maybe that's a good
thing.
He's
an older gentleman now, and so he's a little bit more calm, yes.
He's much, well, yeah. The comparison and calm between your dog and my dog is no comparison.
That was very fun, though, getting him
in there. Yeah, it was fun having him in.
All right. I was listening to Jesse and Scan last night in the drive home when they were calling the game between the Padres and the Mariners, and they were talking about White Sox closer, that was a hard thing to say, Michael Kopech, and his feat of closing out a game with an immaculate inning, which is, if you don't know, you get 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 outs, that's why it's immaculate. That was the 113th immaculate inning of all time, and Jesse brought up that there have been 323 no-hitters in baseball history, so those numbers show the immaculate inning is much more difficult to accomplish than the no-hitter. Tony, why do you think this is more rare than a no-hitter?
I mean, there's a specific circumstance that has to take place. I mean, think about that. 9 pitches, 9 strikes, 9 punch-outs.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think of it in that terms, right, I mean, a foul ball could just change that. You could go 0-2, guy can foul a pitch off. That's the end of it.
A bad umpire.
It takes some luck, you know. I think for
it would never happen under Angel Hernandez's watch.
The umpire behind you may call the first pitch of the game right down the middle ball. You never even know if you get a chance to get an immaculate. And I just think there's so many things that have to go your way from that standpoint. Whereas, you know, over the course of a 9-inning game, you can maneuver your way to no hits if you're really good, and even those take a little bit of luck. There's usually a few plays that are made in those occasions. So, I think it's just tough. And the way you know pitching is done now, I would say it's probably even tougher, right? Because guys don't have the pinpoint control, so now you're dependent on the hitter chasing a little bit.
Yeah, Chris.
I don't understand why there hasn't been more immaculate innings.
I don't know if you heard that or not, but
I did.
Okay.
Were you talking to me?
No, I don't know why I said your name
Angel.
And then played the Angel Hernandez thing. So
oh, I
I'm
did.
A little
okay,
disjointed.
That threw
that.
Me off. I don't really quite know. I would expect that there'd have been more immaculate innings, but there isn't. You know, to me, the best. I mean, this is impressive that Kopech did this, etc. Especially impressive for him because he normally doesn't get too many guys out. I know that, you know, as a White Sox, don't have a lot of chances to close games. But to me, the most impressive strikeout thing that I've seen this year is still easily Jeremy Estrada. I mean, getting 13 consecutive batters to strike out. That, I mean, you talk about just somebody, you know, squibbing one in front of the plate over the course of 4 games. So it's impressive.
I mean, he had consecutive strikeouts, but if I'm not mistaken, those weren't 1-2-3 innings in each of those.
For Jeremiah. I think the 3 of them were 1-2-3 innings, and the other was were parts of innings, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But no, he never had an immaculate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, I think that speaks to why it's so difficult. I mean, he comes in for 2/3 of an inning, he strikes those 2 guys out. And he continues to do it, but, you know, it's not an immaculate inning. It just got to line up.
This is a very interesting conversation they had yesterday. I appreciated it. Chris, Mountain West Media
How about
Week.
Jesse having the stat handy of how many no-hitters there have been?
Are you kidding?
I mean, let's not overlook the fact that he always has that stuff.
I'm sitting in the car, and he's like, there's almost been double the immaculate innings, and I was like, I wonder if he knows the number. And then he said, there's been this many immaculate innings and this many no-hitters.
I guarantee you that immaculate inning happened, he saw it, and then that was the next thought.
Right.
I wonder how many you know what, this would be perfect for a certain point in the game, and then he goes to do the research, and he's got it all handy.
You know, I've snuck into the booth a few times, and I will share this. I hope I'm not talking out of school. I don't think I am. Jesse, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, has three or maybe even four computer monitors open at one time during the game. So it's unbelievable to me how much... And then he has his written notes in front of him and his scorecard. So he's only got two arms, but he's able to operate this stuff all at the same time.
He has his computer. He's got his little iPad.
Laptop. But
in that laptop that he has on his left, he's got about three different windows open.
Yeah.
And in each one of the windows, I mean, one of the windows is like just statistics and little tidbits on every guy that's on the other roster.
Oh, it's
so he's prepared.
It's not surprising that he sounds as good as he does.
I used to make boards for a former host in town that was affiliated with the Chargers. His like color analyst boards,
right.
And it would take me 6 days to put this board together because of how much information is on there. And you may never even use
any. You may not. That's the thing.
So, all right, back to number four, Chris. Mountain West Media Day is happening this week, and the Aztecs didn't really get much love. They are predicted to finish eighth, and for the first time in a long time, no Aztecs are on the all-conference team, the preseason all-conference team. Do you think this is accurate, Chris?
Well, probably. Well, I hope it's not accurate. I hope the eighth place part is not accurate, and I'm pretty sure that by season's end, the Aztecs always have enough talent. They'll find somebody on their way to the all-conference team. But I do think it serves as a little bit of a reminder of, you know, the season's less than 2 months away, of how much Sean Lewis work he still has, you know, he has to do. You know, this team has fallen from grace. I mean, they were, you know, consistently, you know, contending for a Mountain West championship with all kinds of all-conference players for, you know, a decade or more. You know, with Brady and then with Rocky Long and then even when Brady came back. But all of a sudden, you know, last year, it fell hard. I think they went 2-6 in the conference. So just a reminder, you know, if Sean Lewis gets them into contention this year, he's doing a hell of a job.
Tony, do you think this is accurate from the preseason Mountain West?
Yeah, as Chris said, I hope not. I hope when it's all said and done, you know, when the season ends, we got a few guys on that first team. That being said, this team is coming off one of their lowest years in quite some time. And so, you know, and with so many, you know, so transfers coming in, I think it's fair not for them necessarily to have guys that are up on, you know, first team, second team, preseason picks. But I'm excited for this season. I don't, and for the first time in a long time, I don't know what to expect at all. And in some ways, that's kind of interesting, right? It's like a clean canvas for Coach Lewis to now, you know, go out and build, draw whatever he wants to. And so I'm excited. We'll see how it goes. But yeah, I am enjoying the state of, I don't know.
That's where we all are.
I don't know.
Yeah,
that's interesting because that makes me extremely uncomfortable.
Well, based on where we were.
Yes, but you're a Glaff half empty guy.
A Glaff? What's a Glaff?
You know what he meant.
It's a cousin of a Glass.
All right. Well, we'll see. After meeting those guys earlier in the week.
Did I really say Glaff?
Yes, you did.
Oh, you stopped yourself. But my goodness. You did say Glaff.
Yeah, but after meeting those kids, I'm pretty excited about this
season.
Yeah,
we had those kids in on Monday, and they were great. Fun talking about the Aztecs. And yeah. I know they're excited, so why shouldn't we be?
Right.
Number three.
Speaking of media days, during Big 12 media days, Mike Gundy, the head coach of Oklahoma State, addressed why he opted not to punish star running back Ollie Gordon II, who had been arrested for driving under the influence. Gundy explained he figured that Gordon had drank 2 to 4 beers, but here's the full thing, and people are kind of questioning this.
Let me hear it first.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like, in Oklahoma, it's .08, and Ollie was .1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight, not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life. And I, you know, it was just fine. So I got lucky. People get lucky. Ollie made a decision that he wished he could have done better. But when I talked to Ollie, I told him, I said, you're lucky you got out light.
So that's what he said. And people are like, what? You just condoned drinking and driving. He did make a statement later on X saying, my intended point today at Big 12 Media Day was that we are all guilty of making bad decisions. It was not a reference to something specific. So, as you can tell, this is a lot. But, Tony, did he make a mistake by saying this?
His point that he was... Basically, he was saying he deserved another chance, right? But he was very poor in how he delivered it.
I've drank four beers right, driving home like, before.
That is...
And I just got lucky. I was driving drunk, and I just got lucky.
I'll take you for your word that that's not what your intention was.
Yeah.
But that's certainly how it sounded when you were, you know, you looked up, okay, it's .08. He was one. So how many more beers is that than the legal limit?
He only drank a couple of beers too many.
Right. And so, you know, in a day, at least in Gundy's time of... Well, he probably still having four beers to this day. But just to take it back when he was a young man, they didn't have services like Uber very easily to have you to take you someplace, right?
Yeah.
So I think ultimately his delivery was extremely poor. And considering that he is a leader of young men, I would expect a little bit more, but this is also the same individual that gave us the spectacular rant of, I'm 40.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
So, I mean.
Chris, do you know what we're talking about? He gave me this look like he had no idea what the I'm 40.
He definitely knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to figure out how old he is now and why he doesn't know better than to say absolutely stupid remarks that he said. I mean, this has got to go down as one of the dumbest things I've ever heard a leader of young men ever say. You're so... a largely college audience, you know, and you're telling them it's quite all right. We all do it. Go out and have three or four beers and drive.
You might get lucky like I did.
I cannot believe this guy honestly said this. Furthermore, he brought this young man to the media day.
He said it was kind of his punishment. He's not allowed to hide from everyone.
I see. Sure. That's his punishment. Yeah, why don't you come with me and enjoy the media day?
Did he let him get up on the thing and get some questions?
You know, I honestly don't know. But
I got to be honest with you. There's got to be an AD somewhere who would think this is almost a fireable offense to say something this stupid. I'm being honest with you. I don't know where that AD is, but Mike Gundy's lucky that it's not his AD.
You have to wonder, right? I mean, I don't think Mike Gundy has been in any...
Oh, I said Van Gundy, too.
That's where I didn't pick up on yours.
The glass is half full.
Mike Gundy, I don't know that he's done anything that has warranted him getting in trouble or anything, but clearly he's been there for...
A long time.
You know, whatever AD is there is not disappointed in the work that he is putting out, so...
Yeah. He should be disappointed in that, though.
Ollie Gordon did speak to the media. I'm seeing some clips on there.
From the specific point of he brought him there for punishment, I don't mind him bringing him and then putting him up there so he had to answer some questions and, you know, hopefully did a better job than his head coach did in terms of answering those questions.
I
bet you he did, too.
I left this fact out until the end, but many are pointing to the fact that when you're 20 years old, your limit is .00000. It's not technically .00, but
I didn't realize he wasn't 21. I didn't realize he wasn't 21.
Yeah.
Thanks for leaving that out so that we couldn't comment on it.
Yes. Number three. I already hit that one.
number two.
All right, so here's a social media interaction between a Major League Baseball player and a fan, and then I'll ask you something after. But it comes from Corin Tom on X, at Tomfoolery, if you would like to go see this. But he tweeted, do you think even Whit Merrifield's family buys his jersey? He just can't seem to get it going in Philly, and he tagged Whit Merrifield in the tweet.
Oh, he was trying to be a you-know-what. Yes.
So Whit Merrifield replied. He said, obviously not. In fact, they all changed their last name by May 1st, hoping to get them to change it back by October. They did buy all three of my All-Star jerseys, though, which is a good comeback.
Very good.
And then Corin Tom comes back and said, what I said was mean, but I'm really just hoping for more production at the plate. Defense is solid. Go Phillies, which is a back track.
That's one of my favorites right there.
Oh, he replied to me? Now I'm going to be nice.
Well, you feel... This is where the human side kicks in, and you're like, oh, I didn't know that he was actually going to see this.
Really? He reads this stuff?
Now I feel like a you-know-what.
Yeah, and Whit Merrifield did reply again, but it was more of like a, hey, I don't want to make outs. I'm trying out here. We're all trying, blah, blah, blah.
You know, good for you know, Whit, you are a great individual for even giving this guy or gal the time of day.
Tomfoolery.
Well, I think he did it because he wanted to get the All-Star jersey line in, which was really good.
So the question is, because I came across this from someone posted this whole conversation and said, it's incredibly ignorant that a fan tags an athlete in a nasty tweet. Being critical is one thing, but tagging them in it is evil. So, Chris, is tagging an athlete in a mean tweet evil?
Evil? No, I don't think so in this day and age, but I understand.
That's a low bar.
Right. I think that, you know, athletes have a right to be tagged and to find out what people are saying about them if they so choose to. I do think the majority of these guys, do they look at all this? Do they all look at it?
I think they all look at
you
it.
You know, I mean, we most see it. Do. Look, we see it when we get tagged, you know, on the radio station for saying something that somebody doesn't like and. You feel some type of way. It's best not to. Yeah, mostly me. I get it.
I pointed.
But it's,
I got one a couple weeks ago.
You know, it's...
Really?
You know, once in a while. I never try to engage because it just seems to make things worse. I think in this case, exactly. Whit Merrifield had a pretty good comeback and... You know, I think it was fair. But, I mean, it's also Philadelphia fans, right? I mean, they're pretty intense. So.
They are. What do you think, Tony?
I think it's evil.
I agree.
You're going... Evil, huh? Here's a chance where, you know, Twitter is set up to where you can talk behind somebody's back.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it's perfectly fine. They probably will never see it.
They have to search their own name,
but for you to
doing.
Then turn around and tag them in it means you want them to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are going to be that person that tags somebody, stand on it. Stand on it. Don't do the backtracking. Don't do it. Yeah, don't do the moonwalk. Stand on it. If you send a tweet out that says, I wonder if Whit Merrifield's family buys his jersey.
Really aggressive.
And he replies back, don't turn into, oh, that was really mean of me. Stand on it. Stand on what you said. I had it happen to me a couple weeks ago, and... I'm positive the person didn't think I was going to reply or see it. Happened to be doing the TV game the series before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was against Milwaukee. And somebody had said they enjoyed me being on there. And he left the, what was it? The gif of it kind of like,
oh, yeah.
And I just said, hey. And I did my Whit Merrifield. I said, you know. You can always tune in to 97.3 The Fan. We got two terrific broadcasters over there in Jesse Agler and Bob Scanlon.
Nice job.
Very good.
That is a way to handle it.
And he also
That's one way to handle
moonwalked
it.
Back.
The other way to handle it is what the old Giant shortstop Johnny LeMaster did back in the day before.
Oh, yeah, Johnny LeMaster.
Do you remember Johnny LeMaster?
No, I don't.
Really?
No, I just love how we always have to go back to some obscure player from the 70s.
Well, I have to go back to it because that's the guy who was part of the story.
Johnny
here.
LeMaster. You know Johnny LeMaster? No, I don't know Johnny LeMaster.
Johnny LeMaster, the Giant fans used to call him Johnny the Disaster. He only hit about 190. He was really a punch and Judy player. But he got booed so often at Candlestick Park back in the day that he just went out one night with a jersey instead of LeMaster and said boo.
That's pretty That's good.
So it was a good story. That's really why I had to go back. I'm
right.
sorry.
You Boo. Pass. You pass.
Thank you.
I didn't do a good job last week because someone was tweeting me about how I was terrible on the air, and I decided to quote tweet him and all this other stuff, which only strengthened his opinion to all the people who replied. I was like, wow, usually this is like the Whit Merrifield thing. They go, hey, I'm sorry. No, no. You know.
This is called standing on business.
Yeah.
He stood on business.
He did. On Friday, the show was called It's the Glorified Padres Homer and Doesn't Know Anything About Baseball Show.
That was you being, that was you doing your Joker. Your Djokovic impression there. petty Scraby.
And then halfway through the weekend, I was like, I really need to get over this dude. Like, he has gotten in my head.
Yeah, he's still in it. He's sounds like it.
No, he's not in anymore, but he definitely was.
He's in
number one.
All right, so at the Minnesota State Fair, our fair just left, thankfully, so I don't have to deal with that traffic anymore. But Darren Ravel tweeted this out. He said, new at the Minnesota State Fair, deep fried ranch dressing. Here is the picture, everyone, of deep-fried ranch
disgusting.
Dressing. I would eat this.
Is there
I
any
love
cheese
ranch.
In there or anything?
It just looks dressing. Like ranch.
That's disgusting.
I think Tony is up first here. I think I've already heard what he wants. He's not going to even try one. Are you, Chris, you going to try one of these?
You need to crack one of those things open and all that spill out.
Warm ranch. Chris is.
I thought
really
you were
going to
ask
it.
Me what the most disgusting thing I could think of that somebody could deep fry.
No,
would
you could
be.
Deep fry anything.
I guess.
How
you
do you
could.
Even get that to stay in there?
I don't know, but they have deep fried Kool-Aid at the fair. They have
Come
stuff
on.
Like
Kool-Aid's
that.
Kool-Aid's supposed to be cold. Nah,
I remember deep. I remember deep fried butter coming to the fair.
Yeah,
many
that's pretty
years
crazy.
Ago.
That's pretty crazy.
I don't know.
Are people, you going to eat this though?
I'm not, but a lot of people do. That's why they keep making this stuff.
I'm taking in.
We have the. Do we not have the most unhealthy country in the world?
Without a doubt,
we have to.
Without a doubt,
there's no way at a state fair or a city
We're
fair in Paris
ranch.
They're making deep fried ranch
We're
dressing.
Frying ranch and butter,
and people are eating it.
Yeah, that's true.
People get healthy out there, please.
Go do SD fat loss. You won't be eating deep fried ranch balls
ever. Again.
Don't save that club.
Oh, man.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. And that's it for the show, guys. We have the Roundtable replay coming up next. And then tomorrow we have...
It's a relatively mild...
Padres and Braves.
Mild Roundtable.
No fights? No arguments? I purposely don't listen to the Roundtable in the morning because I stay here for the full hour and I listen to you guys and I just steal what you guys say and then use it on the Scravy Show. So it's perfect.
So how are you coming up with... Was it the host, the Homer host that doesn't know anything
Padres,
about this?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.